morning, Avids, and welcome to this week's edition of Sounds of the Sixes. That's to be my final show, but more about that in a moment, after we've heard from Johnny Preston with his follow-up to his number one hit, Running Bear. This one was pipped at the post for the top spot by Cathy's Clown by the Everly Brothers, so it was number two for Johnny in 1960 with Cradle of Love. Well, rock-a-bye, baby. Johnny Preston's second hit in the UK, Cradle of Love. Here's a duo called Sundragon, who were Robert Freeman and Anthony James, whose first two records were covers of Lemon Piper's originals, the second one being Blueberry Blue. Sundragon from 1968 with Blueberry Blue. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, this is my final Sound of the 60s, and I thought it'd be a good idea to look back on some of the features and tracks that I've played over the years, together with quite a few of my original links. One such feature was a weekly selection of BBC sessions that I'd introduced in the past, like this one from an addition to Top Gear prior to John Peel, quite rightly taking over the show. Here's an extract from one of my earlier editions.
And this is Brian Matthew, feeling the odd man out among all these groups, but not to worry. Here's a great new team to set the scene. Launched by the Beatles, they're called Grapefruit.
Do you ever wake up at night and wonder who you are?
Grapefruit, recorded for Top Gear on January the 15th, 1968, for broadcast 6 days later. The Beatles' protégés were backed by the Bill Shepherd Orchestra and performed three George Alexander compositions, including that one, Breaking Up a Dream, which never saw a commercial release. And next, one of Phil the Collector's famous outtakes. This is a song by Boyce and Hart for the Monkees, proposed as a single for them in 1967, but boss Don Kirshner decided not to release it, and it was shelved. A year later, when they were looking for a new single, it was decided time to release this song, Valerie. But for legal reasons, which I don't understand, I must say, they couldn't put out the original recording and had to go back into the studio and re-record it. Many believed that the original version was superior. And here it is. The Monkees' original 1967 recording of Valerie, which the remake in 68 entered the UK Top 20 and was a US number 3. Over the years, I must have played hundreds of requests, and thinking about the most in-demand artists, the list must include Dusty Springfield, Billy Fury and Elvis Presley, all of which will be coming up later in the programme. But one singer who probably gets the biggest mailbag is the late, great Roy Orbison. An American number one and a UK number nine in 1961 for Roy Orbison. And so we arrive at Melanie's 1969 recording of her song Beautiful People, taken from her album Affectionately Melanie. That 1969 recording by Melanie brings us to one of the many foreign language versions of hits that the collector dug up from the vaults, and a bit of the history of the Supremes and the Holland Dozier and Holland song Where Did Our Love Go, that they first played to the Marvelettes, but it was turned down. It was then offered to the Supremes, but Diana Ross wasn't keen to accept another group's reject. However, the other girls persuaded her otherwise, and the result was their first American number one, as well as their first hit in the UK, reaching number three. And that's not all. The Supremes also recorded the song in German as Baby, Baby, Wo ist unsere Liebe? The German version of the Supremes' 1964 hit, Where Did Our Love Go? Now, in 2015, I was invited to select my all-time top 10 favourite records of the 60s in celebration of 25 years as host of Sounds of the 60s. So today, I thought I'd play those tracks once again, with the first three coming up right now. So in no particular order, the dazzling performances of Every Time We Say Goodbye by Sammy Davis Jr. in 1967, who I first introduced on Saturday Club during his first visit here, then a top 10 hit by the magnificent Dusty Springfield from 1966, All I See Is You, and finally a Rolling Stones UK and US number one from 1969, Honky Tonk Women. Another classic feature of Sounds of the 60s has been Loose Connections. It was first introduced in January 2012 and was planned to run for around 3 months, but proved so popular with all you avids, who provided me with a constant supply of material, that the feature continued to run until this day. Here is how I introduced the very first set of connections. Now, we shall continue to include our three-in-a-row feature for your requests on side two of the show, but the collector's dreamed up an angle for a new feature on side one, and he calls this Loose Connections, and we shall play three unrelated tracks by artists who do nevertheless have something else in common. See if you know or can guess what it is, and after the three tracks I shall reveal all. Here we go then, and our first selection is Respect by Aretha Franklin, then Ride On Baby by Chris Farlow, and finally Here Comes That Feeling by Brenda Lee. Okay, how did you make out? The loose connection is that those three artists, Aretha Franklin, Chris Farlow and Brenda Lee, all had top 40 hits in the 60s with different songs with the common title Think. In a moment, we'll continue with a 1965 top 10 hit by Gene Pitney.
Now, all the music you love on Radio 2 and across the BBC is
Gene Pitney's eighth UK Top 40 hit, written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, making the charts in 1965, the same year he recorded two successful albums with George Jones. And so to another song from my Top 10 favourite tracks that I selected for my 25th anniversary show back in 2015. And this was the UK debut success by The Lovin' Spoonful, who reached number two here, as they had in America, with Daydream, written by their founder, John Sebastian. In the States, it was the third in a run of seven consecutive top 10 hits for the group, all written by John alone or in partnership with Steve Boone. This was taken from an album on which it had been the title track. The Lovin' Spoonful from 1966, and we turn now to another of Sounds of the 60s favourites that I've played many times over the years, an American top 40 hit from 1968 by Al Wilson. This is The Snake. A 1968 classic from Al Wilson, bringing us to a British trumpet player and band leader that I had the good fortune to regard as a friend and associate for several years, the late Kenny Ball. I first met him as one of five trumpet players in a band created by Eric Delaney. Then one day Kenny walked into my office and announced that he was forming his own group of jazz men at the very time I was putting together a show called Easy Beat. So I booked Kenny on the spot and we recorded the show for many months in the London Playhouse Theatre. The Ball Band came up with a string of hits, and in 1963 he became the first British jazz man to become an honorary citizen of New Orleans. The previous year he'd been in our top 10 with his instrumental arrangement of the Rodgers and Hammerstein song The March of the Siamese Children from The King and I. This is BBC Radio 2, online, on digital radio, and on 88 to 91 FM.
BBC News at 9 o'clock. This is Catherine Cracknell. The former Foreign Secretary David Miliband has warned that Labour is further from power than it has been at any time in the past 50 years. He was speaking after the party lost the Copeland by-election to the Conservatives. Gerard Coyne, who's challenging one of Mr.
Stevens with the song that I once used as my signature tune for a programme I presented with my son Christopher on the BBC Light programme. Just to remind you that this is my last Sounds of the 60s, I'm looking back on some of the features that I've included over my time with the programme, and right now it's another track from the collection of BBC sessions, and I'm going to hand over to my good self to introduce the item from way back in the mid-60s.
And it's a real rouser to wind it all up. The Searchers say, everybody clap your hands.
Everybody come and clap your hands. Don't you know when you dance?
From that 60s BBC session by The Searchers to another of our many features that I've had the pleasure of presenting, and this time it's I Write the Songs, and a composition by Birmingham-born Raymond Froggatt. We're going to hear his own original recording from 1968 of Calla La Vita, later also recorded by the Dave Clark Five as the Red Balloon, that reached number 7 in our charts. Froggatt's own band was first known as the Buccaneers, which was then changed to Monopoly, signed in 1964 to Polydor. But success as an act eluded them, although Raymond went on in 1969 to write Cliff Richard's top 10 hit, Big Ship. Now, when Froggy played his own song for producer Terry Kennedy, he recognised a potential hit when he heard one. Terry asked what Calla La Vita meant, to which Raymond immediately replied, How warm is life?
Raymond Froggatt. And as mention was made of the Dave Clark Five in connection with a version of that song under a different title, let's move on now to another of their releases that provided them with their only chart topper. Lead singer Mike Smith had been searching through his own record collection when he came across a song called Glad All Over by Carl Perkins, and stopping only long enough to borrow the title, he used it for a new song that gave the Dave Clark Five their only UK number one.
The Dave Clark Five from 1963, and we follow that with one of the longest-running features from Sounds of the 60s, the A to Z of the Beatles, a collection of all my interviews for every track ever recorded by the Beatles in the 60s. Here's just one of them from another of my programmes, Pop Profile.
From London, this is Pop Profile. Presenting Brian Matthew talking to a top personality from the world of popular music.
And today I'm hoping to bring you the profile of a Beatle. Well, in order to do that, I've come along to the Beatles' own office in the very heart of London's West End. And with me is George Harrison.
George, I don't know whether you'd accept this, but it seems to me that you've emerged with the image of, insofar as any of you are ever silent, the silent Beatle.
I think I'm more quiet than the others because I got fed up before the others of all these questions, you know, like, what colour teeth have you got? And all, you know, just stupid questions you've no interest in any longer. And I think everybody, well, all fans, I think they all know what colour eyes we've got and what we drink for, you know, breakfast and all that. And they don't want to know that anymore. So I just shut up until somebody asks me something worth answering.
Yeah. George, you've recently started to write rather more than you had in the past. This must have been kind of difficult for you sitting alongside the two most popular writers in the world today.
I don't know really whether I would have written more songs by now, or better songs by now, had Paul and John not been with us, because probably I mightn't have even thought of writing songs only for those two. But it was hard trying to get in on it, because I didn't want to... Well, I've written so many songs that I've just thrown away as I've been writing them, because I've wanted, when I've finally recorded one of mine, I've wanted it to be, you know, worth putting on the LP alongside Paul and John's.
Yeah.
I feel now I've got more idea about how to write songs.
Mm.
And there'll be another track by the Beatles later in the programme. But right now, it brings me to another set of three of my favourite records that I chose for my 25th anniversary edition of the show. And the first in this cluster was a UK number two in 1961 by the hugely talented Bobby Darin, Lazy River. And then we'll have a Scott Walker solo hit from 1967 with one of his numerous recordings of songs by French composer Jacques Brel, Jackie, and finally Dionne Warwick's 1964 US number 6 with Bacharach and David's Walk On By.
Up lazy river by the old mill run, lazy river in the noonday sun, linger
while... My final two choices from my 25th anniversary show will be coming up before the end of the programme, but right now we turn to another feature that began in 2010 and ran for almost 2 years that we called The Chronicles, in which we looked at events and music from this week in history during the 60s. This edition was broadcast on the 26th of February 2011.
1960 brought royal news when Buckingham Palace announced the engagement of Princess Margaret to Anthony Armstrong Jones on February the 26th. Their marriage the following May was the first televised royal wedding. On television, Tony Hancock began a new series of Hancock's Half Hour. The Cold was the first episode on March the 4th. A new Sobel TV set back then would have set Hugh back 57 guineas, for black and white only, of course, which was why many people opted for rental. On the light programme, there was a fine lineup of talent in Parade of the Pops from the Royal Albert Hall. Johnny Dankwith, Craig Douglas, Acker Bilk, and the Raindrops. On March the 1st, 1961, Elvis Presley signed with Hal Wallace for a 5-year movie deal. In 1964, on February the 27th, Cilla Black had her first UK number one with Anyone Who Had a Heart. It remained at the top of the hit parade for 3 weeks. 1964 was a leap year, and the royal family was making the news again with the announcement that the Queen's cousin, Princess Alexandra of Kent, had given birth to a son. James Robert Bruce Ogilvy was believed to have been the first ever royal to be born on February the 29th. In 1965, on the 26th of February, Jimmy Page released his only solo single, a song called She Just Satisfied, and Keep Moving was on the B-side. In 1966, Chancellor of the Exchequer James Callaghan confirmed in his little budget that the UK would change over to decimal currency. We finally went decimal 5 years later in 1971. On the 1st of March 1966, Gene Clark officially announced that he was leaving the Byrds, due, somewhat ironically, to his fear of flying. On the 27th of February 1967, Pink Floyd went into Sound Techniques recording studio and made their first single, Arnold Lane.
Arnold Lane.
In 1969, on March the 1st, 18-year-old Princess Anne undertook her first solo public engagement when she presented leeks to the officers of the Welsh Guards at Pirbright on St David's Day. What they did with them is not reported. The following day, Concorde made its first supersonic test flight in Toulouse in France. The Anglo-French plane was in the air for just 27 minutes and reached a height of 10,000 feet. The BBC's man was there to report on it.
This is Reg Turnell in Toulouse, and right in front of me, Concorde is winding up her engines at the start of the runway, a magnificent sight with her beaky nose drooped, all ready to go. We've had a long 6-hour wait, and Now you can hear her engines winding up to a 60-ton roar. He's taken off the brakes now. Concorde has started her run. She's gathering speed at 9 knots a second.
Reg Turnhill was the BBC's aviation and space correspondent. I don't think we have one of those these days. The maiden flight of the British version of the plane, piloted by Brian Trubshaw, took place a month later at Filton near Bristol. Raymond Baxter covered that for BBC television. Finally, we go back a year to the American Hot 100 for this week in 1968, when Paul Mauria and his orchestra were enjoying their third of a 5-week run at the top of the charts with Love is Blue. Paul Mauria and his orchestra with their version of L'amour est bleu, or as they called it, Love is Blue. And after another spot of Radio 2 promotion, we'll hear a 1964 UK number 3 by Manfred Mann.
Johnny Walker celebrates seminal recordings from the biggest stars. And in the next programme, two of the most stylish albums from the 80s.
I'm sorry I've left my card at home.
That's 3 times on the run.
In America, Manfred Mann found themselves competing with the original version of Shalala by the Shirelles, whose single only managed to scrape into the lower end of their charts at number 69, unusual for the US, where this British cover climbed all the way to number 12. And so to my final 3 tracks that I chose from my anniversary edition of Sounds of the 60s, that kicks off with, from 1967, that promised second Beatles track, She's Leaving Home, from the Sgt. Pepper album. Then the Everly Brothers 1961 UK number 1, Walk Right Back. And finally, my absolute Elvis Presley favourite, his 1969 UK number 2, In the Ghetto. We're ending my last Sounds of the 60s show with another of our most requested artists, the great Billy Fury. Last Night Was Made for Love became his 9th UK Top 20 hit, and although Fury had launched his career as a rock and roll singer, by this time he concentrated more on performing the big ballads. That 1962 top 5 hit by Billy Fury brings me to the end of my reign as presenter of Sounds of the 60s, and I must say I've enjoyed every minute of my 27 years in this chair, and I'm saddened to leave. But I'll be back on Radio 2 in the near future with something new, so keep your eyes open for further information. Sound of the 60s was produced by Tom DeCrow and Phil the Collector Swern as a unique production for Radio 2. And this is your old mate Brian Matthews saying, that's your lot for this week. See you again soon.